I've got Canada to beat Spain, and I've got
Monday morning on the Gareth Cliff Show on the Real Network, and Brent Lindekew is with us along with Leanne Moll. And welcome. If you've just woken up and started your Monday, then we are here to help make it that much better. Lots of things to talk about. It's so ironic that we should be talking to Brent this morning, and he has this unbelievable stalker story. Of course, the big series of this year was Baby Reindeer, and things changed so quickly that people don't even know. Like, you move on so quickly. And then just this morning, Leanne tells me that one of our Olympic long jumpers was receiving death threats before his Olympic competition. So there clearly are, you know, there's no shortage of lunatic, dangerous, weird people in the world. And I just think Brent's story may help a lot of other people who are perhaps going through stuff, maybe because they're not famous or well-known, nobody knows. But there are crazy people in this world, and they try to make everybody else's life a misery.
Look, I mean, the thing is, we call them crazy, lunatic, sick, etc. But as Dr. Hanan has just explained, and I never knew this, and I watched, it's something that was lacking in that series. I know that you haven't seen it, and that, you know, you were advised against it. But that's, we were never once let in on the background of how a stalker's mind works. And that's exactly what Dr. Hanan was sharing, that it's an addiction. I never once thought of addiction. And that made so much sense. That just put everything together.
Well, how did it feel when you eventually found out who this person was? And by the way, it's worth also looking at how everybody thinks that you can be anonymous online, but there's a digital footprint and they will find you.
Absolutely. So
if you want to find someone, you can.
Absolutely. No. We it doesn't matter if you, I mean, this person wasn't bright enough to use VPNs or to go to coffee shops to try and sort of harass me. But we do really leave a digital footprint.
No.
And you might think, it's Meta. Meta is so big, they'll never... Meta will, they'll apply to a subpoena. So if you subpoena them to get information, they will do so. And we all have IP addresses that we're leaving. Those cookies, when you're accepting the cookies, you're leaving a digital footprint. So we were able to track the person.
In Joburg?
No.
But
no,
you'd rather not say.
Okay. I'm not gonna
say. No, that's all right.
But we were able to trace who they were, where they were, and sort of what they were about. What slowed the process down a little bit, which was disheartening, was it took the courts or the proceedings 7 weeks.
Wheels of justice turned slowly.
Seven weeks actually sounds quite fast. I thought you were gonna say longer.
No, but for what I was going through, it felt like a lifetime.
Yeah, forever.
And then once we got the subpoena to get the person's information from an ISP, we were then able to serve them. And so I created this monster in my head, and they were just...
Yeah, you were saying earlier, this is not a person who was intimidating, actually, in real life. And like so many people who are big and loud, and they've got plenty of things to say on social media, when you actually meet them, they're like pathetic.
Absolutely. And that for me was like a breath of fresh air. And that's when my mental health turned. I was like, you created this monster in your head. The monster's not actually real.
Yeah, but when you don't know, that's probably the safest thing to do. Because if it was someone truly dangerous and murderous who would have followed through on their threats, you could have been in a lot of danger.
So that's what we went to the court. Luckily, you know, it was online, so it's all black and white. There's the proof. So when we went to the courts, that was what I said. If they're as unhinged as they are online in real life, there's a very good chance that I won't be alive in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, so you can't and you don't want to give away their identity, which I think is a good thing. But who managed to actually meet them and serve these papers on them and then tell you the story of what they were really like? And what can you tell us about like the things you know about this person?
Yes.
You'd never met them. You'd never seen them. You'd never been in the same room as them.
No. And it all happened, I believe in my head, they didn't know who I was until the beginning of this year. It's like they found me and they decided to direct all of their hatred towards me. It was like a game for them.
Before you found out who it was, did you think, oh my God, this is someone who definitely knows me?
Yes.
And it must be someone who's got an axe to grind.
Absolutely.
Like Dr. Hanan said, the minority of cases is where there's someone who's genuinely got like some sense of injustice and wants to remedy things because they do know you. And you thought, oh, what if it is someone who's like got some issue with me from high school? Or
well, some of the things they said were almost a little too personal. So it was like, how do you know that? Or how I went to an event and it was with a whole bunch of colleagues from Primedia, and I sort of, it was a great event and what a great night. And then I got a message going, if you knew the things that Bongani and Mandy are saying about you, you wouldn't hang around with them. So it was like really, it was terrible. It was really too personal, maybe. You asked how did we go about catching them?
Yeah.
So it was all thanks to my lawyer, Maxine Clement, who spent time investigating, getting the skills, understanding how the IT world works, what cyberbullying, the different harassment sort of codes that we have in the legal system. And she was able to take an IP address. I mean, if you got an IP address, what would you do with it? You wouldn't really know who to contact or where. She was able to take that IP address and then link it to an ISP to go, this belongs to this internet service provider.
Yeah.
So that was the first step that she took.
Okay.
Then she emailed the ISP to go, this is the person's IP address. We know it belongs to you. I'm going to go to the courts to get a subpoena to get their details.
Yeah.
And once we've got that, then you can give me the details. And the legal team replied going, noted, we're going to work with you. It's not about us. We know that someone's using our service to do this. But again, because of Papier, we can't hand over any of that stuff. So then we went to the courts.
I thought that was the whole point of that stupid act.
So then we went to the
protection,
courts.
Protection, right?
Protection. Then we went to the courts, took 7 weeks. They eventually gave the subpoena. The subpoena went out to the ISP that same day. They gave the details. And not just the details.
And what do you get? Like their address?
Everything.
Oh, wow.
Name, yeah. Telephone number, address, ID number. It's all there. And it was so crazy because if there was any doubt that perhaps we got the IP address wrong, this incredibly clever person had used an iteration of their name as their fake Facebook profile. Oh, wow.
So they're a proper amateur.
Like it couldn't be more and fearless. They're fearless of nothing. It was
they're fearful.
They're fearful.
So, okay, so what happened? Did they break in and burst through the doors and say, "Hey, you piece of shit, we're here for you"?
Kinda.
Yeah, we found you in your parents' basement. So you little creep.
My lawyer is fantastic at what she does, and she's quite petty as well, which I love.
Good.
She got hold of the police, and the police went to this person's house, knocked on the doors. They apparently weren't at work on that day. They were working from home. She'd already found all of this out because she phoned their office, and they didn't come to the door. Someone else did and said that they're not here. And then the police forced them to call the person. The person answered and they said, "Where are you?" And that person said, "I'm at work." So they said, "Well, best you stay there because we're coming to serve you at work." And
nice and embarrassing. All your colleagues know you're a stalker.
Open plan office.
Yeah, good.
They should go
around the office going, "Where is the stalker?" Excuse me, we have a summons here for a stalker. The name is blah, blah, blah.
Gareth, I think they did do that.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I would have been mean. I would have been mean about this. This person made your life a misery.
Correct, for far too long. And
please
and
tell me you don't feel sorry for them.
I do.
Stop this weakness.
No, it's not a weakness. That's having EQ and just being.
No, come, let's go there with some baseball bats.
I'm going to name drop now, but I got to sit and have lunch with Oprah last year, right? That was also a great, great thing in my career.
Was it Oprah? Oprah was your stalker?
No!
You said it was around about that time.
I got to sit with Oprah and the discussion that we had, she just released this book that's titled, "What Happened to You?" Because when you look at someone who's a little bit crazy, you don't go, "What's wrong with you?" Like, what happened to you to make you that person?
Yeah, but sometimes you don't care.
I still feel sorry for them. And right, I feel sorry for...
They go into work. I want all the details. So they walk into this person's open plan office.
Yes.
The police.
Well, we got rid of the police because the police were like, "This is a little bit too tiring. I've got the sheriff." So the sheriff is the sheriff of the court. Yeah. And the sheriff said, "I'm the sheriff of the court and I'm here to see so-and-so because I'm serving a harassment order on them. They've been harassing Brent Lindekew." And it was like 4:30 in the afternoon. So people were leaving. It was the reception area. It was quite busy. My lawyer was there. She watched the whole thing unfold. The person came to get the order. Maxine says it looked like they were wanting to cry. You know, when you get called into the headmaster's office, yeah. It looked sort of like that. And they tried to say to the sheriff, I don't know who this Brent Lindekue is. And the sheriff said, your name is on this document for a reason. Best you show up to court. Best you show up to court.
And?
There was a court date set for 2 weeks from that point, and they didn't show up to court.
Oh.
They didn't. How do you defend that? How do you stand up when it's in black and white and the harassment?
But if they don't pitch at court, then it's an automatic interdict.
No. So that was also quite interesting. The court date was set for Thursday, and I couldn't make it to court because I was on stage. So I had to sign an affidavit to say I wasn't going to be there.
You gotta get your priorities right. I'd be in court for that thing. What's wrong with you, man?
You know, you got it's my job. That's my job.
You got to get a chance to face your stalker. How exciting.
I was petrified to do that.
Were you?
Yeah. I didn't know what they would be like. Anyway, so it didn't go to court. And they postponed it. My lawyer said they wanted to postpone it for a couple of weeks. And she said to the magistrate, this is too serious, like Brent's mental health. We have to sort this out as soon as possible. And the magistrate, this pockets of excellence are all around us because the magistrate understood. When she was explaining the IP address, and he looked a bit confused, but he said to her, I understand the urgency.
Yeah.
Give me tonight. Let me read over all of these documents. We'll reconvene tomorrow. Please, can Brent be here tomorrow?
And by the way, if you don't pitch for a court date on a serious matter like this,
you're in contempt.
You are in contempt of court. Yep, so then they can bring criminal charges against
you. Correct. So the next day I went very nervously I've never been to court before, so it was all new to me. Went to court and we waited for our docket to be called. Mm. Went into the courtroom. It's very surreal. I sort of sat in the little bench and you have to, your worship and bow and do the whole thing. And Maxine was concerned that the magistrate might have many questions, so she'd prepared the whole night to sort of just explain the whole scenario. Mm. And she stood up in front of her little podium and opened up her laptop, and he went, everything's been granted. And I've also given extra measures of protection because I've read the case and I understand now what is going on here. So he listed, it was the extra measures were no social media. This person cannot get a secondary person to intimidate me because then they'll be arrested as well. So they put all these other measures layers, in place, layers. And it's because he read all the documents.
Mm.
And again, that big sigh of relief, like it's over. It's over.
Is there a part of you that wants to sit down and ask this person, why did you choose me to bother and intimidate? You didn't know me. What the hell's wrong with you? What happened? Like you said, the Oprah Winfrey book.
Have you done this before?
Yeah, have you done this before? And who else have you done this to? Because he might have. Right?
It's been a week and a half now since the court date, and I had all of those questions before, and now I feel as if it doesn't even matter. I've closed that chapter of my life. I think today is the last interview that I'm doing on this, and then I move back to what I'm good at. Like good news, good things. My mental health is back where it should be. I don't need this to be part of my story.
Sure. I hope it won't be, but it's just, I mean, it's extra ironic that you are the good things guy and that I've known you a while. You're not the sort of person who would have any grudge to bear against people. You're a very positive, optimistic guy. You move forward very quickly. And I think it's just so bizarre that this idiot, whoever they are, and I'll say it, you don't have to be mean to them, I will, that they chose you. I mean,
it is the most bizarre chapter of my life. Like a real, I'm sure we've all led very interesting lives, but this has been a very bizarre chapter. And yeah.
Yeah. So Leanne, you've got to stop, all right?
Well,
got to stop.
Now you've outed me.
No.
It's the closest reindeer. I've been near him. No, that's a lie. I've been close to you before.
We often think that that these things will happen to other people. And you realize, like, no, it can happen to anybody. Mm. Right? It's so bizarre how life takes these turns.
It's random. It's a random thing.
Yeah, it can be.
Mm. And it is, you watch it on because we all watch crime documentaries now. Mm. You see,
I don't.
You see it all over, and you see this happening to other people.
Yeah.
It's other people. It's never you.
Yeah.
And to be in this situation, from a mental health perspective, it was scary. It was really scary.
You have a gun?
No.
Would you want one now?
Yes.
No, I don't. You don't?
No, I don't. You know, it's very odd. And I only realized this last week. I'd stopped sleeping. So I was waking up at like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I don't lay in bed and stare at the roof. I get up and work. I sort of got up, went to my office and started working. And I just thought, getting a little bit older. Maybe my sleep clock is changing. Mm. And Andrew, still sleeping. No, not bothered. And on Friday night, I did celebrate. So after the court case, had lots of champagne. On the Saturday, I slept until 7 or 8. And then on the Sunday again, and on the Monday and the Tuesday and the Wednesday. Mm. And I realized that my sleep patterns had changed.
Okay. This is very, very cool and interesting. But it shows you also how, you know, someone completely random, not even in the same town as you, can create such chaos in your life.
Absolutely.
And it shows everybody, like, you have the power to be a good person and make a positive difference to people, because you can do a positive version of what that person did and make someone's life better. Send them a message online on social media saying, hey, I think what you're doing is great. You're making the world a better place. Keep doing that. And you can choose to be a dick. And clearly this person chose to be a dick, but it's within everybody's, don't believe you don't matter. That's the idea. Like, you can actually have a very positive or negative effect on somebody. And you can do that from a distance.
Yep.
You could be that person right now.
So when I wrote about this, when it all had happened and I put it up onto my social media, I knew that I wanted to be public about it, because I know that other people are dealing with a lot in this. We're all going through the most.
And just by the way, you were never afraid to share aspects of your personal life. I mean, you would post pictures of your dogs and you'd post pictures of you on holiday and all of those kind of, are you reticent to do that now?
I was for while I was going through this.
I'm sure, because it would have given info to this lunatic.
Absolutely. And things that I would do, they would reply to you in the most negative way. So I went on a work trip to review a cruise in Germany, in Europe. And I was getting messages telling me I should throw myself in the Rhine and not come back. Like, just go. So it was tough to share that sort of personal stuff. But we live in social media. Like, that's what I do. I'm back now. So that's all over. When I did share this, I spoke about the fact that as human beings, we require 5 positive interactions to balance out 1 negative.
Really?
5.
Sure.
So you need 5. If you're feeling really cuck right now, you need 5 things to change that and to turn that around.
So in other words, just going for a walk is not going to help.
You're going to need more. And what you're saying about being that opposite of that negativity, like, we should be doing more of that. There was research that was done recently that found that an average human being says, I'm fine, 14 times a week when asked. How are you? You get knee-jerk reaction, I'm fine. Mm. But they found in that study that only 1 in 5 people meant it. So people are not lacquer. Like, everybody's dealing with a lot.
Yeah.
They are all dealing with the most.
Yeah.
If we can be a little bit kinder to each other, there might be less stalkers in the world. There might be less baby reindeers. And maybe that is also a message from me.
All right. Well, let's look at some of the stuff that you've been doing, because the good things, Guy, I think you've established yourself beautifully over the, what is it now, 10, almost 11 years.
So good things, Guy. It started with Cliff Central.
I remember.
So NEC nominations happened. Oh. I didn't drink. I fed a homeless person. You trusted me and gave me a show on the platform, which I don't know how stupid you are, but you did it. You did it.
Look, I mean, we're getting the stalker story from you now. The investment was worth it in the beginning.
We waited for so long.
We find out. So, tell us again about the misery of the last couple of months so that you can balance out the good we've done, you know?
So I had the show back in the day.
It's 10 years.
And so Good Things Guy has grown into just a beautiful platform that I think delivers the most unreal gift to South Africa to really balance out what mainstream media has.
And it's a business.
Absolutely.
And it's doing things to change people's lives in a positive way. Again, it just strikes me as so bizarre that of all the people that this stalker wanted to go for, would be the one who's putting good into the world. Like, you know, there's so many other people you could have chosen who are just morbid and miserable and
like
sad.
You.
Yeah, sure, exactly. No, gosh. But the point is, you're doing a lot of good stuff there.
Thank you.
And the idea is still to take all the things that we are absorbing day to day and try to make as many of them as good as possible.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to 90% of what we read on our phones and what we get in the news, in our feed, we hear from other people, it's mostly negative news. And that we know why that happens. We know why it's programmed into us, that we have this amygdala response, this fight or flight, that bad news sells. But you've been at it now for 10 years and it's making a difference.
It's making a difference. And it's not just me anymore. So yeah. I've got a full group of journalists who are reporting on these good news stories every day. You spoke about the Olympics and what's happened to our one Olympian there. Mm. I've got a journalist who's on the ground in Paris writing for Good Things Guy.
That's awesome.
And she's not just writing about the medals that we're winning. She's writing about the stories behind the stories. So she got to sit down with that Olympian and speak to them about the death threats. And that article's coming out this morning. It's intense, but we get to try and shine a light on the other side of the news that you might not get. And I'm so proud of this little idea that I had to share good news all those years ago, that it's really become something special.
What's the stuff people like the most?
Human stories.
Okay, so give me examples. Like what would have been the biggest things that you've done there recently?
On the spot,
because I know it happens every, you're coming up with new stuff every single day.
15 good news stories every single day. 15.
But what do you find like really grips people when you say human stories? What about woman rescues baby on street corner?
But I mean, those have happened. But most recently, I'd say there was a mom, her name's Tiffany, I might get that wrong, and her daughter were driving around on a Sunday night, a really cold Sunday night in Johannesburg, giving away gloves, scarves, blankets to just the homeless community that are out on the road. And they captured a Take-A-Lot driver with his little scooter, and he'd stopped, opened up the back, taken out a meal, not a stolen meal. It wasn't someone's delivery. It was a meal that he'd handed it over to someone on the side of the road. And this mom and daughter looked at this and they just thought to themselves, like, imagine how much a Take-A-Lot driver earns for them to be giving back. That's just, so they snapped a picture.
Well, I'll tell you how that happened. I know, because it was my meal. I ordered it, but I gave the wrong address. No, this happened to me on Thursday. I'm embarrassed to admit. And I hadn't set my actual location at home. So it would have brought a delivery here to the office. So I messaged the driver and said, you know what? You can have that.
Very kind of you, Gareth. It all started from you. Yeah. So they snapped a picture.
I'm happy to take credit.
For this very magnanimous,
very humanitarian, philanthropic deed was done by me.
And humbly so, you're taking credit.
I'm so humble about it that I wouldn't have brought it up unless Brent had.
But wait, there's more. The story gets even better.
Yes.
So they snapped a picture.
I also sent 100 rand.
Better than that. They snapped a picture of what was going on, and they used their social media to try to track down this driver, which they did.
Okay.
They sat down with him and they said to him, why would you be feeding homeless people when you don't really earn such a... And he said, because I know what it feels like to be hungry and I'd never want that for anybody else. So they said to him then, what would make your life easier? What would make your life easier so you can continue doing your job and the good work you do? And he said he rents his scooter. So he pays a rental fee on his scooter. Yeah. If he had his own scooter, then, he would save a bit of money and be able to give back more. It took them, I think, 48 hours to raise 25,000 rand. They bought him a new scooter. And he's driving, I think his name's Ndu. He's driving around Joburg today, doing his job, and at the same time, giving back to the homeless community. There's a human story.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's so amazing. The Good Things Guy has become almost a bit of a tracking service. You track stalkers, you track Take-A-Lot drivers, tracking all these good people and bad ones.
Good Things Guy is going to find you.
Right. Good,
be careful.
Good Things Guy is going to get you. I love it. But I'm really pleased that my meal was the thing that was the biggest story of it,
Sure.
It actually did. I was so embarrassed. I was like, hang on, because I looked on the app.
You're loving this lie.
No, I forget about that. I don't know who the meal went to. But I looked at it and I was like, oh, shit, this is the wrong address. And what do you do? Because you can't cancel the order then.
Yeah.
They'd already picked it up. So I'm like, listen, you have it. But the reality is then I had to order from the other place afterwards. So I'm like, It's going to be a big bill for like one person to eat at home on their own on a Thursday.
Yeah, that was an expensive exercise.
So check the address. Don't just help people needlessly. I'm going to be the bad things guy, right? Yeah. Bad things guy says, don't help a bunch of people. You don't have that much money. Save. Be conscientious. Look at the address. Make sure you get it right.
Be kind to your pockets and right. Think carefully next time.
Okay, so tell us about this trip to Germany and this conference that you spoke at.
Wow. So I got an email inviting me to, I'm going to say it wrong because I'm not German, but Deutsche Welle.
Deutsche Welle.
Thank you very much. So I got invited, and I was there and I don't even know how to say it, but I got invited to their media forum, which is the biggest media forum, yes. Sort of a journalist conference that they have every single year.
Right.
I never studied
in Bonn. Yeah.
I've never studied journalism. I fell into
this. Old parliament.
Come, yes.
Come out. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I got invited, and they invited me to speak on the closing panel. Which, if anything, if you know about these conferences, the opening and the closing are the biggest. That's sure. Sort of that what you want to be watching, or in my case, part of. And they said to me that they wanted me to be speaking about the future of journalism. And right. I didn't understand why they had asked me to come.
All this time in German, you didn't bother to translate any of it.
No.
Just for people who don't know, so Deutsche Welle is like the German BBC,
yeah.
Effectively. They're all over the world. They do a lot in terms of obviously German stories in German, but they're parts of the world where people speak German, not necessarily from Germany. And they share all this news. They do a lot for free speech, for, you know, the right for journalists to be able to report on stories all over the world, especially in places where it's tough to do that. And then you were on the closing panel talking about the future. What did you tell them?
Well, I didn't know what to tell them. So in the lead up, the months that sort of were leading up to this big event, I kept thinking, what is the future of journalism? Like, yes, I've created this platform and it's fantastic because it's growing. I don't have massive advertising on the site. You don't need a login to read the stuff. It's free to read. So what does that mean to me? Well, my platform keeps growing on a daily basis, but what lessons could I possibly give people about the future of journalism?
Yeah.
And when I got to the conference, immediately I was sucked in. I landed up on another panel with Maki, who used to be part of Carte Blanche here in South Africa. She's okay. Now living in the UK. She's got a great company that wants to change the African stories in the world. So tell better stories about Africa to the world. And so she invited me onto her panel to speak about good news and how we can change the narrative in media. And then I landed up on an interview on DW Live, which was pretty insane.
But you had your speech for the closing.
Yeah, I did, but it changed.
Oh.
It changed.
Okay, on the spot.
On the spot. So while I was there.
Talk about the future of media. It's so far in the future, I can't write it until tomorrow.
So the big discussions were obviously AI. People are very concerned in the media world as to how AI is going to impact businesses. There's talks of people becoming despondent with news. Sort of the tiredness of negativity, like just the barrage is too much. So a lot of people don't even watch news anymore. They don't tune in. So there were all these things. And what does that mean for the future? And my answer, we spoke about AI. Believe AI is going to be a huge part of everything we do. And unless we embrace it, you're going to be left behind, like newsrooms were when social media was started many years ago. But my final word, and it got a bit of a clap from the audience, which was quite incredible.
Especially Germans.
Germans.
It was
an international community, Gareth.
It got the clap.
International community. The final word was passion. Like as journalists, yeah. you need to keep that fire burning for telling stories that matter, because you're writing the present, but you're also becoming part of the history. Mm. And so if you're not passionate about what you do, if you don't keep doing everything with that flame inside of you, your readers will know that. They'll gather that. So I think in any form of media, in any form of journalism, whatever your field is, I'm good news, right? So I'm passionate about it. If you're investigative, you need to be passionate about that. And your readers will feel that. So keep that passion burning.
Yeah, I think it's terrific. And you've got your book out. You've got a second book out.
So the second book's coming at the end of the year. You wrote almost the front page of my book. Yeah, I brought it for you. Do you not remember?
James, bring us that book. Let me have a look. I can't remember what I wrote.
I really? You did. So what happened was the book.
Yeah, you see, look, I really am.
I brought one for Leanne and
look
for
at this stuff.
Oh, well, lovely. Thank you.
So the book is, we wrote 4,000 stories last year.
Thank you, James. Get out of the way.
We wrote 4,000 good news stories.
Thank you, James.
Thank you, James.
This is beautiful.
Thank you.
So nice.
Yeah, we wrote 4,000 good news stories last year.
Get straight to where's my part?
It's coming. Right there. There's Gareth Cliff.
There's me.
Do you want to read it?
Brent cornered the market on positive news, mostly because nobody else had the courage to do it, considering we're so hardwired for negative news. South Africa in particular needs a constant stream of positive reinforcement because we find ourselves in very tough circumstances with lots of reasons to give up. Okay. But we dare not give up.
We dare not.
We dare not.
We have an important future to carve out for ourselves, and the story of the world and our young country has an outsized contribution to make. Reminding ourselves why we're special and how much there is to be proud of is a big part of that. Listen, I do love what you do. So this is the book.
So lovely.
Thank you. I just need to explain, Gareth. So 4,000 stories we wrote last year. We took the top 100, put them in a book. It's got 10 different sections. I decided at the opening of each section to have someone influential, celebrity, someone in South Africa to give me a quote with a photo. And I sent a message to the 10 individuals that I wanted to do it. And you responded not even 15 minutes later with your quote and your photo. It took some celebrities are still ghosting me and they're my friends.
Son of a bitch. Yeah, but some of them are also probably stalkers. So maybe you're lucky. Maybe you're lucky. You don't have to deal with them. That's, listen, I think that what you're doing is making a massive difference. And we need positivity in this country. I can't imagine how horrible it would be to wake up and be a negative person because I'm not. But if I were, I'd like to have books like this to remind me of the good stuff. And the site, which is busy all the time. There are so many people interacting. It's kind of developed a life of its own, hasn't it?
Absolutely. So
now there's a community of people there.
Yeah. I call it the Good Things Guy universe because it's not just the platform anymore. We've got I've got radio features that feature the good news stories. We partnered with Prime Media Malls last year and we're in, I think it's, I'm going to get the number right, 25 different sites around the country. You wouldn't even notice it. It's in your peripheral when you're walking through a shopping center. But there's a snippet of good news that will play on those screens in the food courts. Oh, and that's it's 15 seconds or so of a good news story from that week. We have our top five. And that gets shown to over 30 million South Africans on a monthly basis. So like just it's grown into something that is so much bigger than this idea of just sharing good news. And it does. It tells really good news stories, and it helps a lot of South Africans with their own sentiment around the country, with their hope for South Africa.
Are you working on another book of your own?
Yes.
That isn't about the Good Things Guy?
Yes.
Yeah? Tell me about that.
So this book will come out at the end of the year again. It's an annual book that we'll bring out every year, just sort of capturing the stories and giving them another way to live.
Okay.
But next year, June, July, I'll be launching my own book.
What's that?
It's called Okay, Love You, Bye. Because I end all my sort of Facebook posts and my social media posts, I always say, Okay, Love You, Bye. That came from COVID. I think during COVID, I was so lonely and I was so separated from the world. And I think a lot of us were, that I started ending all my posts off with just like, Okay, love you, bye. Speak to you later.
But you weren't on your own.
I was with Andrew.
And you had your dogs.
But we were...
I mean, to me, that's enough.
We were separate in our house.
Were you?
We had different offices and...
Man.
I went to work every day. It was a different world.
I don't know. It was kind of in some ways like a bit of heaven for me because I didn't have to interact with people.
For you, Gareth.
I know.
For you.
But you don't... You weren't... Look, I mean, again, you're the positive guy. But like I just think back on that time and I think how that damaged so many people.
Absolutely. So we 100% have PTSD from that time. Oh. And I think we're all trying to deal with those monsters that we were dealing with then. A lot of people lost loved ones. A lot of people lost their sense of what was normal. A lot of people lost their jobs. And a lot of people lost their sense of, I don't know, belief in things. It's sort of...
Trust.
It became a really hard time that I don't think everybody has moved on from. And the craziest thing is we don't speak about it.
No.
So we all just shut off
memory hold the whole thing.
And that's why sometimes we kind of think that 2019 was yesterday.
Mm.
And we kind of think that maybe I'm not 39, maybe I'm actually 35, because we've lost a couple of years.
You just block it out.
We've blocked it out. And I think that that's going to do damage in years to come in other ways.
You do have dogs just like mine, which is
another reason. Yes.
At one point, I had
four. The real reason. That's the real reason that Brent's here. It's got nothing to do with
his book or his stalker story
or any of that stuff. He's got like spaniels like I have, and I love those dogs.
At one point, I had four.
King Charles.
Yeah. So I got my first King Charles was, I don't know, 15 years ago, little Dukey. And what a light. They got the
such
best
happy,
personalities.
Such happy little animals.
Best personalities.
Oh, I love them.
And we got him a sister. And then from there, I mean, Dukey and Chelsea have passed away of old age. But at one point when we had the new puppies, we had four Cavalier King Charles in the house. And it was the best ever.
Oh.
Like four of these beautiful dogs. And at the moment, we've got two. And I keep nagging Andrew. I'm like, maybe we should just get one more. Maybe just one more.
They're the sweetest little dogs. Are they quite high maintenance?
No, whatsoever. They are super chilled. They go with the flow. They really are the nicest personalities.
Good with old people, good with kids, good
love
with everyone.
Walks, yeah. Love sleep. Whatever, like, you don't need to take them for a walk.
Huh.
They can easily just sleep on the couch. But if you take them for a walk, they love the walk. And if they want to be on your lap, it's cool. If they're not on your lap, it's cool. They're just chilled dogs.
No, it's fine. I'll just put it down.
It doesn't need any marketing.
James is busy telling us what to do with our books.
It doesn't need any marketing.
Yeah, and just put yours on the ground as well. Otherwise, he'll come and bother you as well.
So I went on a book tour. To sort of around the city, around the country.
Clear, put it.
Can you still see it? It's just my t-shirt. It's red.
You went on a book tour?
I went on a book tour. And Johannesburg, Durban, Cape Town. And in Johannesburg, my team was so angry with me. Because at the end of the sort of sit down and chat about the book, I said to the whole, there was about 400 people that came to that. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And I said to the audience, mostly women as well. A lot of women follow me. Yeah. I said to the audience, please, I'm not here to sell you a book. Like, that's not why tonight was to chat to me. If you really want the stories and you can't afford the book, just go onto the website because they're all there for free. And my team nearly died. They said, please, we do want to sell books.
Yeah.
In the next city, do not say that. And then in the next city, it's the first thing I said. I was like, I'm not here to sell you books. The stories are available for free online.
Just so you're clear here. Anybody who's watching this now, don't buy the book. Just go and get the stories for free.
For free. Go get them online.
He's just cut straight to the chase. Okay, so are you doing some travel again? Are you doing the fun things that you wanted to do? Everything back to kind of normal, inverted commas?
Yes.
Yeah, and you're so happy about that.
I am.
Because again, you don't know how good normal is until abnormal comes.
Absolutely.
Right?
My life is exactly where it was before. So I'm in a great mental health space. I'm doing what I want. As you said, travel's a huge part of what I love to do.
Yes.
And you know, by having no kids that live with us, because our kids are overseas, and having adult money, it's on Thursday morning, I was Googling, should I go to Amsterdam Pride this weekend? Like, maybe that's what Andrew and I should do. We didn't. But that's the point, is that I'm back in that happy space.
I felt like I was really missing out on something with the Olympics, because watching it, suddenly thought it must be cool to be in that stadium with that 100-meter sprint.
Even just in the city.
Jesus. So, I mean, Paris is looking beautiful.
Absolutely.
Mm. Huh?
Our journalist, Zarina, that's on the ground there, every photo that she sends us, her smile is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. She's having the time of her life.
Yeah.
What is her surname? Did you say Narina?
Zarina.
Oh, no. Zarina. Because there's a journalist that wrote a story from the good things, was writing a story about Melville Mansions and the bins that were being painted. And I think her name was Narina.
Narina, maybe. So we do get a lot of people that contribute if they just send a story to sort of go, I work for this publication, but okay, I'd like my nice. Story to be told in your publication.
You can have freelance contributions.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And we do allow that. Zarina Gabies.
There we go.
There we go. So that's our journalist on the ground. And she's writing the coolest stuff. It's like Sex in the City, but in Paris.
Oh, well, what a lovely gig.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
And you are still very much a pro Joburg guy, because I always hear people saying, well, Joburg's really horrible, but Cape Town's very nice. And it's become very rare to find people who say nice things about Joburg. So we try to find people on this show too who are just not so anti-Joburg.
I am in love with Johannesburg. And I mean, maybe I've grown up here my whole life. Yeah. I grew up in the south of Johannesburg. I've lived in different areas.
Are you also from the south?
I'm from the south. I'm the cousin. I'm from the south.
Which school did you go to?
I went to first Albeville and then to Dinwiddie and then to Morafeleun.
That sounds like a list of diseases. Do you know those places, Leanne?
I don't.
What south are you from?
I was at Glenvista.
It's very close. Very close. We're not that far from each other. No, I grew up in the south. I lived in Melville for a bit.
I love that. Anyone who just came in for that part of the conversation, sitting there going, what the hell were those two people talking about? South of Joburg, what is it? Different language? Yep.
Yeah, we speak a different language. I'm proud to come from the South. It's made me who I am today.
That stalker should have known, like, not to fuck with someone from the South.
Listen, when I saw who it was, I was like, I could have taken them.
You could have taken them out.
Could have taken them out.
Yeah.
And some of my South friends actually got hold of me and they're like, Brenty, why didn't you allow us to
you
go?
Were not, yeah. How did they say it? They say, all right, does it, Brent? They said,
I'll break their knees, Boots.
Yeah, come here. What time you want us there? We'll bring a crowbar.
I've got my get.
I've got my get.
We are not like that.
Oh, come on.
On a Wednesday.
Live up to the South stereotypes.
So back to the thing. I love Joburg. Yeah. I've lived all over Joburg. Grew up in the South. Lived in Melville for a while, which was great in that sort of time. Living in the North now, I'm all about Johannesburg. I think that it's a beautiful city. It's got a vibe that I don't think you can find in other parts of South Africa. The people in Johannesburg are unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's if you meet someone on a Monday and they invite you for a bra on a Thursday, it's happening.
It's not weird. Yeah.
Mm. It's happening. Joburg's and you'll go and you'll go to their house and it'll feel like you're best friends and you're welcomed in their home. And the people are what make Johannesburg so incredible.
In Durban, they'll try and steal your stuff when they come to your house. And in Cape Town, they will never invite you. They won't. They'll say, oh, we must get together. Crickets, 3 years later, you're like, okay, Cape Town.
But we do love Cape Town as well.
Yeah, it's possible to love both. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
I agree with you. Everybody has their charm. Everything is cool. I stopped off in Plett 2 weekends ago, and I suddenly thought, what a beautiful place that is.
So I'd never spent time in Plett. Yes. I think 2 years ago, December, we decided to go down.
Wow.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible. It is so beautiful community. Yeah. Great things to do outdoors. The tourism Plett team, they are all about raising tourism of Plett and keeping you outdoors. I think Plettenberg Bay, they've got an app now where you can physically go and download to go on off-road bicycle trails and all sorts of things. Very cool.
That is cool. Yeah, I think there's still so many parts of South Africa to explore. My brother was saying over the weekend, it was his birthday on Saturday, and we had some family time on Saturday with him and his kids and everybody else. He was saying he's been all over South Africa. And I said to him, don't count your chickens. And he has. He's done like more holidays than God.
Yeah.
Really, it's ridiculous. My brother and sister-in-law do more holidays. I don't know how, but they managed to fit in so many holidays. I'm always perpetually jealous of them. But I said to him, there's still going to be places you don't know about.
Absolutely. Like there's so many gems.
Yeah. And I'm so glad winter's coming to an end. Like this weekend was actually nice and warm.
I was in shorts and flip-flops.
Man, isn't it cool?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's how we want to live. We don't want to live in like tracksuits and jackets and coats.
And that's another point to Joburg. Joburg's got some of the best weather in the world.
Yes, thank you.
We've had winter, which is, we got 1 month left of winter, but I think I can count on both hands the amount of cold nights we've really had.
Are you worried that the Good Things guy is going to struggle because we have a government of national unity, which is bound to be better than what we had before, and there will be such a glut of good news stories that people will not funny. Have to come to you anymore.
No, because people are inherently, they lean towards negativity. And even though the GNU's happening and there's good things happening, if you go on Twitter, you'll see how divisive things are and how people can cause a whole bunch of maracas.
What do you make of, and we've talked about this on Friday as well, all these horrible people who are trying to get this girl who they're saying is Nigerian, she's South African.
Miss South Africa.
Her dad was from Nigeria. She's trying to enter Miss South Africa. I mean, she's just a pretty young girl who wants to enter a beauty pageant, and you'd swear she'd murdered people the way some of these assholes on Twitter are going on.
So I don't have enough information to have a formulated opinion, but what I do know is that cancel culture is absolutely horrid, and to be on the receiving end of that amount of hate, I cannot even fathom what sort of mental state that person would be in. Ugh. And it's, you know, choice and consequence. Cruel. If you've done something really terrible and you're getting this backlash, is it deserved? I don't know what the answer to that is. I think the level of hate that can be thrown in that environment where you almost become like a crowdfunded or crowdsourced hatred, it cannot be healthy for the person on the receiving end. Whether they've done good or bad, it's bloody scary. I would imagine that it's incredibly scary.
Oh, no, it's just, and it's so unnecessary. I think that's a good point that you raise now, is that like when you do that, you can do huge damage to a person.
There was Derren Brown, the mentalist. He had a series that he brought out of four episodes showing human nature. It was just four episodes. Okay. They're available online on YouTube for free to watch. But the one episode, he had a theater full of people, and he came onto the stage and he said, today you're going to be the show. You're gonna be part of the show. First off, I want you to put masks on. So everybody got under their chairs and they put masks on. And then he gave them a clicker with different options. And he had on the screen then came down and he spoke to the people. I think the first scene was in sort of a restaurant. And he was like, we're connected with everybody except our character in question. And they said, barman, can you hear me? And the barman was like, waiter, can you hear me? And everybody went through. And he asked the audience several questions along the way to either make this person, the character's life better or worse. So the person was on a date and they went, so the person you're on a date with is either going to pay for the bill or they're going to slap you because you're being horrid. And the crowd immediately went to slap. And it's like every scene that they had just got progressively worse. It was really uncomfortable to watch. And in the end, whatever they chose, the guy like gets arrested and it just gets progressively worse. And in the end, the character...
The crowd chose this.
The crowd keeps choosing it. And then they egging each other on for like worse and worse and worse. And in the end, the character gets hit by a car. And Derren Brown comes onto the stage and he's like, pause everything. The screen goes black. It's all commotion. And he walks off stage. And all these people in the audience all of a sudden realize that they caused this.
Yeah.
They take their masks off and they all are disgusted with themselves. And he walks out. I think he brings the guy back, or the guy never got hit by the car. The experiment was on that crowd mentality and how you can egg each other on to become the worst versions of ourselves. And I think there's a learning in that.
Yeah, definitely.
You should watch it. It's fascinating.
Crowds are, and especially crowds that have malice aforethought and are trying to do terrible things, which they invariably will do, as proven by that experiment. I've never seen that, but I have no doubt that that's the way it would go. It's amazing how you know, you can't trust the wisdom of a crowd.
No.
The more people there are, the dumber the outcome is likely to be.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Which kind of speaks ill of democracy, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Don't you think? I mean, if you're asking millions of people to go and vote for something, and then you're trusting that those millions of people will know what the hell they're doing. I mean, I've always got this deep and abiding fear of, and it's a real fear of crowds, especially like your pitchfork mob. You know, and that's what you see a lot on social media. Doesn't achieve good things. There's none of those mobs that have resulted in like awesome stuff happening in the world.
No,
it's almost invariably going to be bad news. But that's a It's a fascinating experiment to do.
You need to watch, because I think it's called The Experiments by Darren Brown. And
what does he conclude about human nature?
I think it was just the level of disgust and what can happen in a mob mentality situation. So if I stand to be corrected, but that episode sort of reflected on, and again, it's like history repeating itself, but London was having the riots in Clapham or whatever was going on during that time. Yeah. And he was speaking about how it takes one person to sort of light that match and then other people will get involved as well.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. Out of that crowd, there was one person who said, who shouted out, take the bad route.
Yeah, and then everybody else was like, let's see what happens. Should we go a little bit further?
Yeah.
There's a good one with Luck, where he chose a town that he put a dog statue in, and there was a fake reporter, and there was a whole thing about Luck. And he changed the entire town's luck. People things were happening because they believed in it. And it's the most amazing. You need to watch it. It's called The Experiments by Darren Brown.
Wow, okay. I'm always happy to see you. I don't need an excuse to have you in here. I'm sorry that you had this horrible stalker situation, because it could have ended very, very badly. It ended up being okay, but you've gone through hell to get there.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're all right.
Thank you.
We need you around.
Thank you very much. I feel not that it had to happen to me, but having the platform that I do and speaking about it publicly, the amount of messages I've received from people who are going through something similar or worse, and they just, I think that I needed them to know that they're not alone, that the law will work with you, and there is a way to stop these people. And I think maybe that's the lesson here that sort of I can pass on.
We've actually, James, that video of that lady in the car that we played earlier, we've got a video of your stalker, and we'd like to show you because everybody's asking, you know, what do we know about them? Just play that quickly. Here's the stalker, okay?
You don't need to be like that.
I want you, I want you! Fuck you!
What did I do to you?
Fuck you! Fuck you, Fred! Fuck you, Fred!
Yeah.
Fuck you, fuck you!
Ma'am?
Hey, Tai! Tai, so rick your back now!
What was that?
I love her. She's just a very angry woman. That's not your stalker?
No.
Oh. Okay, I thought that was it. I apologize. I apologize to that woman. I would hate you to have reputational consequences. Dear lady, I mean, you're such a sweetheart. We don't want to smear your reputation.
Such a kind and gentle person. You know, that you've just thrown under the railing.
I know. She didn't deserve that. How horrible of us. I apologize.
Sweet old lady.
Yo, she's cross. Anyway, don't be cross. Be happy. And if you need help,
get this book.
Yeah. Don't get the book. Go to the website.
No, man. Get the book. Yeah, he's not doing this just for charity. It's a business. Get the book. The Good Things Guy. And The Only Good Things is the book, celebrating 100 feel-good South African stories in 2023. There'll be a new one out every year, and I think it's going to be a good year, and I think it's going to be a very good time to get into this positive stuff, because if you're not there already, you need all the help you can get. This is one way to make things happen. Brent, it's lovely to see you, dude.
Lovely to see you. Thank you for having me. Lovely to see you.
You too.
Yeah. And you two are going to have coffee in the south.
Coffee? No, it's Monday morning. It's time for mimosa.
All right. Mimosa's in that south. All right, everybody. Yeah, have a happy day. We will see you on Wednesday, 6 a.m. bright and early. Don't miss it. And if you haven't already, like, subscribe, blah, 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 blah. Cheers.
Hallo julle, excuse my stem, maar ek is siek, ja. So ek en my maat lekker KFC bestel vir 'n lekker Sondag lunch. So ek het vir my 'n burger gekry, crunch burger, en my ma 'n lekker streetwise toe met 2 lekker stukkies hoender en 'n chippies. En toe het Lia gister verjaar, my babietjie is 1 jaar oud en sy het die lekker